Welcome, everyone, to the Boca en Inglés podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero. I'm joined by Facundo Salazar today. Facu, how's everything, my friend?
Hey, Gabby, how you doing? Everything's fantastic over here. You know, warm weather, not like you that are covered by snow. So I'm happy. Everything's good. Thank God. How are you?
Excellent. Like I was telling you before we started recording, we're getting a snowstorm like every 10 days in the Northeast. It's been a really tough winter. Really, I'm not complaining, though, and I don't think anybody here should complain, because the past 3 to 4 winters, I would say, haven't been that bad at all. I remember last year we didn't get any snow, but lucky you, you're in Florida. Are you able to go to the beach? Is it warm enough to go to the beach? I think it is, right?
Yes, I spent the whole... I had like a mini getaway for Valentine's Day with my girlfriend. We went to Naples, which is on the west side of Florida, and spent like 3 days on the beach drinking champagne and celebrating life.
Nice. Nice, nice. That's what it's all about, right? Yeah, I used to live in Florida. I don't know how many of our followers know, but I lived in Florida for 10 years, and I miss the weather. It's a fantastic weather over there.
I do not miss New York and the snow.
That's what most people say when they leave, right? Nobody misses the weather. I mean, if I were to ever leave, which hopefully I do, those are in my plans, I'm going to miss the city itself, but not the weather. Anyways, getting into the match against Gimnasia, it was a pretty bland match, pretty terrible showing, if I must say. It was a 2-2 draw against Gimnasia at home. Boca went out with Andrada, Jara, Zambrano, Izquierdos, and Fabra. In midfield, Capaldo and Varela. Above them played Villa, Zárate, Cardona, and Tevez. Actually, I'm sorry, it's Villa, Tevez, Cardona, and then Zárate as a lone striker in front of Tevez. Before I get into the match itself, which, you know, my thoughts aren't really going to be any good, Jara, the first thing I want to say is Jara and Zambrano, especially Jara, does not have the capacity to play for this club. I don't know if you agree with me, Facu. We've had Jara since 2016. The best we saw from him was back in 2016, 2017, but that's it. This is a player who even couldn't cut it out in DC United, and it was absolutely atrocious. I don't know why our club continues to stick with him. Another player that I'm going to include in that category is Emmanuel Mas on the left-back position. I hate to say this, but pretty both terrible, terrible players who just do not have the capacity to play for such an immense club like Boca. And Zambrano lost his mark on one or two goals from Gimnasia. Overall bad performance once again. And this is something that, you know, a lot of people were saying on Twitter. I was saying it, and our good friend Francisco was also saying it in our group chat. Licha Lopez did nothing to leave the starting 11, and Zambrano did nothing to earn his spot in the starting 11. So why that change from Russo, I have absolutely no idea. And I don't know if it was a test, if he was trying something new out. I have no idea. Zárate is the number 9, really, in my opinion, didn't really work well. Cardona, once again, saving us with a, I don't want to say last minute goal. It was a free kick, a very nice taken free kick in the 85th minute. Saved us from, as they would say in Argentina, papelón. Regardless, a 2-2 draw against Gimnasia is still not the best result. But I want to hear your thoughts, Facu. What did you think from the little bit you were able to see?
I mean, everything that you said is pretty spot on. I mean, if you check the stats, it was again that, you know, we have a lot of possessions, we have more shots, we committed a lot of fouls. And one of the things that I'm going to point out that I'm happy that Izquierdos scored, I feel like he's the most consistent player we had in the last probably 20 matches. I mean, he's the only one that actually cares, to be honest. I keep seeing him in the interviews after the games, and it looks like he's pissed with the situation. It looks like he is pissed with his teammates. He's the only one that actually looks like he cares. He wants to win, and I'm a little scared of him, you know, telling everybody to, you know, screw you, I'm leaving. But he's the only player that is actually doing something for us. I don't understand Jara and Zambrano's starting. Like you said, I mean, Jara, we have no other option. I think that Jara is a little bit better than Buffarini. I think that Buffarini is not that great. I mean, you pointed out Mas. Mas played somehow good in the last games that he started. Fabra is terrible right now. I don't know what is going on in his life, but he's absolutely terrible. I mean, he cannot do anything. So I'm scared because, you know, we had a fantastic defense for 2020 and the beginning of 2021. And don't understand why Lucha Lopez is not starting. Might be he might not be 100% ready. Maybe, you know, after the vacations he didn't come back with a good fitness. But I'm not really sure. I was a big fan of Zambrano. I thought Zambrano was a great signing. But he only disappointed us.
I thought so too. And his first couple games were actually pretty, pretty good. His first two, 3 games with the club.
I mean, I think he's still a good signing. Maybe he's just not having, I don't know, good performance. Who knows? Varela and Capaldo, you know, we like them. I think they're good. You know what I like about Cardona? I think that Cardona's fantastic. Villa, his level went down a little bit. He's still a fantastic player. I think for us, he was the best top three of last year. But his level dropped a little, which is normal. And then I felt like Tevez was not in the mood. He just didn't want to play. I should say that with Jara and Zambrano. I mean, the only good thing that Tevez has is that player that if he's on fire, he's really on fire. But against Gimnasia, I felt like we lost the game. I mean, we didn't tie. We lost 3 points. I was not happy that we tied with Gimnasia. Gimnasia was a team we should win by 2 goals at home against them. Nothing against them, you know, they play very well. I mean, the tactics, they came out in a way that would really bother us, and they deserve to win. But we should not be dealing with this situation with these kind of teams. But again, it's only the first game in the new tournament, so let's give them the benefit of the doubt. But we cannot rely on Cardona every time. We cannot rely on Cardona just hitting an upper 90 free kick every game. We need to do much better. I think that players had to do better. They had to care more about, you know, winning and coming back from that, you know, Santos lost. I think they're still wearing on them, you know, it's heavy still on them. But that's it. You know, we won a tournament, move on, get better. The Libertadores starts in probably a month, so be ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I want to touch on is the midfield. Varela, I have a couple of statistics on him. So he was a player with the most passes received, 65, and most passes completed, 76. And out of passes completed, he completed 90% of them. So pretty good overall match from Varela. But the midfield, I don't know if you saw this, but at the very start of the second half, I think we started off with the ball. The team immediately split into two. I don't know if you caught that, Facu, but in the second half, the team immediately split into two. You have Andrada, the entire defense, an enormous, enormous gap. And then up front, you have Capaldo, Varela, Zárate, Villa, Cardona, Tevez, everybody. There was nobody in the middle. There was nobody as a receptor in the middle to receive the ball from Izquierdos and Zambrano and to play it out wide to either end or up front to Zárate and Tevez. Absolutely nobody. I think Varela and Capaldo are fantastic players, but I don't think they're being played in their natural position. Or maybe they can't even play together in that sense. You know, I think we really did miss Campuzano, or just a natural number 5, a player who can drift in the middle of the field and will insert himself even in between Izquierdos and Zambrano with respect to the team that played against Gimnasia. So I think that was one of the biggest issues. We couldn't move the ball around. There was nobody, absolutely nobody, to really drop deep, receive the ball, and bring it upfield. Varela did that a couple times, but that's not really him. Neither is Capaldo. Capaldo, box-to-box midfielder. I don't know about you, Facu, but I would even try Capaldo out wide. Like Hernandez, it sort of sense. Play him out wide. He runs like crazy, back and forth, back and forth.
Well, he reminds a lot of Battaglia, right? So like I always said, you know, I would play Capaldo as like a Battaglia, kind of, or Ledesma, Pablo Ledesma.
Paulito, another box-to-box.
Yeah, and then I have a solid number 5 that can distribute. For example, Capaldo could be the Ledesma for Vanega, the Battaglia for Chicho Serna. So he can do that position. That's why I think that, you know, playing with that 2 defensive mids is not a good formation for us, I think. Again, yeah. I'm speaking from my couch in, you know, 20,000 miles away. But, you know, if Campuzano can recover that level and be the number 5 by himself, and then have Capaldo as a number 8, how we call it, the right wing, I think it's a solid formation. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Varela can play that role as well. Maybe Capaldo can play as right back since our right backs are terrible. I don't know. I think it's a good chance to use the Storm to play around, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, with respect to the team that played against Gimnasia, there was just somebody missing. If you want to play Capaldo and Varela, fine, play them. But there was somebody missing midfield. Maybe we could play a 4-3-3 with Capaldo, Varela, and Campuzano. Campuzano right smack in the middle in between. And then three forwards. Let one of them be Cardona on the left, and then Davis as striker, and then Salvi or Villa on the right. I think the biggest issue or the biggest problem that Russo's facing is picking between Villa and Salvi. I think they're both so good in certain times that he's forced to play both of them. Cardona's a lifesaver, also got to throw him in. So then he's forced to just play with two midfielders, and I think that just doesn't work. Again, against Gimnasia, we had Villa, Zárate, Tevez, Cardona, a very offensive midfielder who isn't going to run too much or isn't going to recover the ball for you. And then smack in the middle, you leave Capaldo, who goes back and forth and definitely jumps into the box a lot of times. And then you leave Varela by himself. And I think he struggled at times, even though his passing and receiving was very nice. I just don't think he can play that role by himself. I think Capaldo should either replace Salvio or Villa in with respect to the game against Gimnasia. Let it be Villa and then play Campuzano alongside Varela. Granted, Campuzano was injured, so he wasn't available for Gimnasia. So I'm kind of eager to see what Russo will pick this Sunday against Newell's. But if you don't have anything else to add, Faku, I think we should just discuss a little bit the transfer market, which overall as a whole, in my opinion, was very underwhelming. It wasn't what we expected. But yeah, let's
get into that.
So key positions, at least some reinforcements in key positions. You know, if we recorded a couple of weeks ago and I think we discussed what positions we would reinforce, I wanted right back.
You know, yeah, right back, left back, number nine.
An alternative to Campuzano. Pulpo Gonzalez really isn't that much reliable with injuries and, being off the pitch, being sidelined for, over a year when he was back at Racing. Who knows if he can rediscover that form. So I think a number five, definitely a center defensive mid alternative to Campuzano, a right back, definitely a right back. I would have settled with another 6 months with Fabra and a striker. But unfortunately, like you're saying, we didn't get any of that. We brought in Rojo, which at the time we did say that Rojo is a player with tons of quality, especially for South America, that you just can't pass up on. Even if you have really good center backs, which I think we do, and Izquierdos and Richa Lopez and Avila, who unfortunately went alone to Rosario Central, you can't say no to Marcos Rojo, unfortunately. So that's our only signing of the transfer window.
Well, we got lucky. We got an unfortunate yesterday with the Colombian kid. I mean, based on what I have a group chat with a few of Colombian and Mexican journalists, and I asked the Colombians if they can give me like a reference about this kid that came from Misionarios, and they spoke very, very well about him. You know, he was a right back, a position that we needed. I mean, we got very unlucky. Can you blame the administration about what happened yesterday with him?
Absolutely not. No.
I mean, then we can discuss if they did anything to bring a center forward. It looks like they didn't. So we can actually criticize them for that. But like we was talking, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. It's very hard. I mean, if you look at all the other teams in Argentina, no one actually got anything great either, right? So I don't know if we all fail, if we just Boca fail. I don't know. It's just we're frustrated that every window they are like, all right, next one, we're going to get it. Next one, we're going to get it. We'll never get anything.
Yeah, it's been three underwhelming transfer windows under the new board. I listed all the players that we brought in. I might be missing one or two, but I have Paul Fernandez, Zambrano, Cardona, Pulpo Gonzalez, Javi Garcia, Marcos Rojo. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Those six players in three transfer windows. Again, I'm not looking for a bunch of players. I'm not looking for quantity. I'm looking for quality, especially in depleted positions like the fullback and alternative number five, and definitely without a doubt we need a striker. But I want to talk about Felipe Roman real quick, who's the right back we were going to sign yesterday. A press conference was prepared for 5 o'clock local time, and unfortunately he did not pass his medical. They found him with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which is basically a thickening of the muscle wall, the the muscle in the heart that basically makes the heart beat. And anatomically speaking, what that does is it just in the ventricular spaces, it decreases the space, the amount of blood that goes into those certain ventricular spaces. And it could be very detrimental to the human body. For an athlete, it could even cause death. So maybe this could have been a blessing in disguise for this player who Boca showed interest in, and he might never be able to play football ever again. We could have, in theory, possibly saved his life by showing interest in him. Otherwise, maybe he would have never found out. I don't know. I don't know what kind of test. It definitely breaks my heart. I felt terrible for the kid, and it pissed me off even more when I was on Twitter and there was people complaining about the football department didn't do their job. Now we can't bring a right back because the transfer window closed. Blah blah blah. That really is your biggest worry.
It's impossible to know.
It's impossible.
So, like you said, you know, at least Boca's interest saved his life, like or not. As a football team, sucks that we didn't get a right back. But as a human, you know, perspective and all that, you know, we save a kid that might have died in 2 years.
Yeah.
So he could have died, you know, happy for him, mm-hmm. happy for the club, find this sad that he has probably retired. Mm-hmm. But it's nothing we can do.
Yeah, reports came out that he was in one of the offices of the club just crying for hours. And Miguel Angel Russo sort of, you know, went in to chat with him and to sort of be there with him throughout the, you know, the tough time that this kid was going through. He's going to, you know, fly back to Colombia. I guess they're going to reassess him and do more tests and more studies to see what they could do for him. But prematurely, some reports are stating that he might not be able to play football ever again, which, you know, as a 25-year-old footballer, you still have a whole career ahead of him with 10, 12 plus years of football time. It's definitely heartbreaking. I felt terrible for the kid. But now, you know, switching back to the transfer market itself, maybe perhaps Boca shouldn't have waited to the last minute to bring in a right back. Strategically speaking, this is a tactic Boca and many other clubs use to get, you know, to try and pay the less amount possible for this player with, you know, the dying hours of the transfer market. But there's no way to know that this player was going to come back and be diagnosed with this. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody at Boca, really anybody, expected this. Usually medicals go as planned. There might be a little hiccup here and there. Remember, there was a hiccup with Salvio in regarding to a past injury that he had, but he still ended up passing his medical. So, like I said, the transfer window was underwhelming. I don't think we covered the positions we really needed, the fullbacks, the center defensive mid, and the striker. All reports are indicating that this summer in the Northern Hemisphere, winter in the Southern Hemisphere, this June, July, August transfer window will be the transfer window. Boca will go out and seek that striker, seek now that fullback, or two fullbacks now in this case, seek a replacement for Campuzano, the kid from Huracan, Rolon, that Boca couldn't come to terms with. His contract is up in just 4 months with Huracan. Boca might be able to bring him in for free or for half the price. So yeah, I don't know what your thoughts on the transfer market, Facu.
I mean, like you said, I mean, there's nothing we can do. I mean, yeah, I think it's not the best one. I think that we underperform as a biggest club in South America. We need to do better because we are struggling. However, let's look at the half full glass. With these players, we won two tournaments. We made the semifinals for 3 years in a row. We're just a little bit short to win another Libertadores. We're still the champions, back-to-back champions in Argentina. This team can still perform and do better and win championships. But to win and to be a step above everybody, you need to cover these positions. Hopefully, in June, July, and August, we do better. Maybe the finances are better. Maybe the pandemic is over. We have the Copa America and the Euros happening this summer. So, you know, give us more time to actually sit down and, you know, pull in some players. The Copa Libertadores is going to be halfway through. So, you know, if we made it out of the group stage, we can actually bring players and, you know, perform in the second half of the year. Am I happy? No. We can do better, yes. We're still in, again, I don't want to be repetitive, but still in the middle of the pandemic. Players, clubs don't have money. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that we didn't bring much, to be honest. Yeah,
especially if you don't sell, which Boca, there was reports that we had sold Pavon or close to selling Pavon, but
We did it. So
I don't know what's going on with that. Yeah, exactly. I think we have the squad in, to compete. I think the squad is enough to compete for the Copa de la Liga that will conclude, I think, in May or June, around there. Hopefully we have enough squad to compete in the first stages of the Copa Libertadores in the group stage. It's going to be tricky if we're faced with a Brazilian opponent in our group and two opponents in, let's say, Bolivia or Colombia, with where you have to play high altitudes, or even Peru. Then the Copa Libertadores will get tricky. But hopefully, you know, I believe we do have enough talent, enough of a squad to progress into the knockout stages of the 2021 Copa Libertadores and even compete for this domestic championship, because, you know, we completed for the last two and we won the last two. So
also, I ask everybody that listen to us, and, you know, to be a little more patient. I mean, people are driving themselves nuts in the Twitter world and all that, complaining. But don't forget, we won two tournaments. We are the only team that won in the last 18 months that we won something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we are still competing. I mean, it's not the best. We can play better, yes. We can do better, yes. But slow down a little bit. You know, we're still doing great. You know, we won two tournaments. We won the tournament that everybody wanted to win. We won the tournament that we thought we were not going to win, and we snatch it in the last second. So we're still in good shape. I mean, we still had to be better because we are asked every day to be better. But, you know, let's start slow down a little bit. You know, things are going to start falling apart. And once, not falling apart, falling together. Once they fall together and, you know, players get more confident and they get fitter and this and that, things are going to be better. I mean, all the other teams in Argentina, you know, they all think that they're doing better than Boca, but they're not. They're losing the time. They're not winning titles. So I ask our audience and, you know, everybody around the Boca world to slow down a little bit. Relax. We're in good shape. We can do better, yes, but we're not as terrible as everybody's saying.
No, definitely not, especially as the TV likes to claim. Anyways, to preview real quickly the possible 11 that will face Newell's on Sunday, we have Andrada in goal, Jara or Capaldo as the right back. Yes, we are so desperate that now Capaldo might even play right back. Licha Lopez or Zambrano. I think there's no question there who needs to play.
Izquierdo, I think Zambrano's going to start.
You think so? I hope not.
No, oh, but that's what I'm listening.
Yeah. In midfield, Varela and Campuzano. Then we have Villa, Tevez, Cardona, and Zárate up top once again. It looks like there might be just one or two changes with respect to the team that drew 2-2 against Gimnasia. Facu, anything else to add? Otherwise, we'll close this one out.
No, I think that's about it. I mean, hopefully we'll win on Sunday, because I think we win. Then we'll play at home with Sarmiento and Junin, which got promoted from the second division. So if we can win two in a row, 7 points in this kind of tournament start off would be fantastic, to be honest. So let's hope for the best on Sunday.
Yeah, in order to build confidence, I think, you know, this Sunday's game against Newell's is key. A tough Newell's side, which, you know, tends to complicate teams for Buenos Aires at their home. So let's hope we can bring all 3 points home. Anyways, Facu, thanks for joining me. To our listeners, thank you so much, and until next time.